Blog Talk Radio.
Reach for the sky, boy.
Rolex work.
Woo!
Diamond rings work.
Woo!
Hit stealing.
Woo!
Wheeling, dealing.
Woo!
Limousine ride.
Woo!
Jet flying.
Woo!
Now I'm gonna go.
Woo!
And I'm having a hard time.
Hopefully, you had a good time.
Now give me two drops and a red flash.
All right, this is Doing the Favor podcast, episode 34. I'm your co-host, Mr. Barry Frost, and let me bring on the host here real quick. Carlito's cousin, the man, Mr. Eric Brown. Eric, what's going on, brother?
Thank you for the introduction, first off. We're equally co-hosts. I'm going to clear that up right now. I know there's a bit of a controversy after last week's show of who the host and who the co-host is. We're equals in this relationship, right? So we're both co-hosts. But I do like the red wine before I come on.
You like how
I took a big drink of red wine.
I brought
very
that
topical
out as your intro music.
I really
you
like
know,
that.
Just,
thank you so much for that.
I picture you with, you know, Rachel giving you the fanning, you know, with the big leaf or whatever from a tree and shit while you're doing the show. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever the complete opposite
that
of
we
that
know that
is
shit
happening.
Ain't happening. Right, I was going to say, we know that shit ain't happening, but that we can imagine that happens.
Absolutely.
So, a little bit of news dropped today.
Tiny bit.
So I want you.
Tiny bit.
Let the wrestling world know about this strange occurrence that went down today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many people are doing podcasts this day, but me and Barry have very good timing. Dean, the rumor is WWE put out a statement that Dean Ambrose is leaving after his contract is up. The dates vary on that, whether it be the end of April or May 1st. But as of now, Dean Ambrose is off television and will continue to tour with WWE doing live events until his contract is up. That means no WrestleMania, no Elimination Chamber, or whatever else. So no Raw. So we've seen the last of Dean Ambrose on TV, as they say. So, Barry, I'm going to give you the floor. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I can't say that you can hold it against him. Came back and looked tremendous. I mean, bulked up a little bit, had the body going, came out with a real bang. And then it was like, here's fucking Johnny Generic gimmick one. Here's Hokey number two. Just gave him the worst shit you could give someone to try to get over. And if I'm him, I probably get sick of it too. I mean, AEW's waiting. And I can see him being the big surprise at their first or second show, depending.
I believe so as well. Their first show, Double or Nothing, May 25th in Las Vegas, where he lives, coincidentally. So, yeah, this is big, big, big news. So, I don't think I've ever seen them put out a statement like this, and we talked a little bit before the show started, that somebody was going to be leaving in 2 months. So normally it's an abrupt thing, but I don't know if it's because the age that we live in, word made its way to social media, and you had your Wade Kellers and Brian Alvarez's and Dave Meltzer's of the world talking. I don't know if that kind of changed their mindset, but I read online there's a chance that this could be fixed. You know, it's only because it's wrestling, so you never say never. And it's WWE, and they have a lot of money, so a big check could change a lot, but word on the street is Dean Ambrose, this isn't about money. He has enough money. He's worked for WWE for 6 years, saved his money, lives very inexpensively. So and creatively, he's not fulfilled right now. And folks, money isn't a fucking everything. It's just not. So it's a lot, don't get me wrong, but if he already has a comfortable lifestyle and he's set and he's comfortable where he's at and today's culture can still go out and make damn good money, I don't know if he's going to make six figures like he had in WWE, but damn good money. And with AEW waiting and now there being other options, wrestlers now have leverage. And they say, look, I don't like what I'm doing here. I'm going to go somewhere else. And now there's a legit somewhere else to go to with the cons, you know, the cons having all that money behind the promotion. So, and like you said, just hokey shit, man. Like, came back strong, mixed reaction on the heel turn the night that Roman turned. Triple H came out, kind of buried him a little bit, I thought. Didn't love that. Sat down, looked like he was going to bear his heart on Raw, and Nia Jax came out and interrupted him. So, now that we know this today, if you rewatch that segment, like, the writing's kind of on the wall, like, damn. Like, that segment watches differently now. But, like you said, you can't blame him. You can't.
Yeah.
They're not the only option.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, he might not make six figures. But they go and say, hey, look, Dean, we're going to run four or five shows a year. You know, Vegas is our home base. If they go that route, if Vegas is going to be their home base, here's $25,000 for the five shows, and you're setting in your hometown. You know, I mean, you have zero traffic.
Right.
Just show up to the building. I mean, that's and then, you know, take all the indies you want, whatever. I mean, the dude's still going to make six figures off that. If
right.
he chooses to. Like you said, he doesn't need to. But, yeah, like, and if AEW TV deal, I think if they get the TV deal, he will make six figures just because he will be one of their top guys.
Well, let me clarify what I said. Actually, he's walking away from a seven-figure contract. He's going to make six figures either. Just off his WWE game alone. So that's not going to be, I mean, he's going to make, I think he can easily make half of what he made in WWE. Easily. Not easily. Busting his ass, he can get there. With his options. If he went the New Japan Ring of Honor route, yeah. You know what I mean? He's still free to work elsewhere. You know, there's also Lucha Underground. I mean, so he definitely has his options, but with this new upstart coming in, and he, as John Moxley, chances are he knows these guys. He knows the Young Bucks. He knows Kenny Omega. He knows Cody Rhodes from his time in WWE. So, you know, I think with the show being in Vegas, I think the writing is on the wall.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've harped on it a couple times, but, you know, Cody saying he was raised differently in the business, you know, business side, I mean, he struck up friendships with these guys, and if he can lure away a couple big names from WWE, I mean, holy shit. What a startup for a new company, and you're starting out with not over the hill legends or anything like that. You're starting up with fresh dudes straight hot off of WWE TV. And
right.
They have creative control now. So that's pretty damn impressive.
So now on to the next bit of business of another superstar possibly leaving. Your favorite, your girl, Ronda Rousey, possibly leaving after WrestleMania to have a kid, or attempt to have a kid, I guess I should say. Once again, Barry, your thoughts.
Power to her. You know, her and I'm gonna sound so fucking bad for saying this, but her I guess Achilles heel in the MMA world was basically her mental toughness. I guess we'll go that route. She couldn't stand criticism. To take one of Tito Ortiz's quote, she's a mental midget. She breaks. She cracks. That's why this shit with Becky Lynch, when Becky's running her down, it's like Rhonda's about to cry. Because, I mean, and it's a work, but that kind of shows like she's, you know, she's not all, you know, she's cracked up to be. And, yeah, I think it's probably best if you can't stand the heat. And trust me, in this year, she's made a couple million dollars. I mean, from wrestling, and if not more than a couple. So she's not hurting. She can take the time off. She's had money from MMA. I wish her the best of luck. Like I said, it will only hinder her performances going forward if she takes time off. It'll be another setback.
You are so fucking cold. Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? Listen, she's leaving because she wants to have a family. That's not can't take the heat. That's not good enough. That's not a mental toughness issue. She wants to have a kid. There's a window in life for that. And she's in that window right now. That's what she wants to do. She loves her husband.
Fucking had the window before she even went to fucking WWE. She had a whole between her first show up and her debut. She had a whole year. I hate to be graphic, but throw them legs up. Let old fucking soft chin Travis Brown climb up in and fucking be done with it.
Jesus Christ. She's going to have a kid. She'll be back, I would say, a year and a half, 2 years. You know, if she gets pregnant from Russell, you know what I mean? She could be back next WrestleMania. She's a world-class athlete at the Olympic level in judo. She is incredibly fast. She's incredibly talented. She will bounce back from pregnancy quick. She's still young. She will be just fine. She wants to take time off to have a kid. This happens in wrestling all the time. This isn't a mental toughness. I will say, though, to speak to your mental toughness deal, she stuttered like a motherfucker through that promo last night. That crowd got to her.
Uh-huh.
I think it's unrelated to her wanting to leave, not wanting to leave, but her leaving to have a kid. She'll be back. It's nothing to do with that, but she definitely, I mean, she's still green, dude. She hasn't even been doing this a year. 1 year.
Right.
Last WrestleMania was her debut. And she's made leaps and bounds. She's gotten better.
Yeah.
She has.
Well, fuck, I hope so in a year.
Jesus.
She was terrible.
You're like the next best thing, terrible. You're like Max Kellerman with Tom Brady. You just cannot find it in your heart to give her any kind of credit. You just won't. And that's fine. That's fine. But I'm here.
I've given her credit before.
For the counterpoint. For what?
This will be credit, I'll wait until we get to the match. I'll give her credit then, but my old granny used to say, any excuse will beat none at all. And if she's going to use the kid excuse to get out of it for a little bit, to refocus her mind, then I accept that.
So you think having a kid is like just allowing you this like stress-free deal to clear your mind? You have a kid, Barry. You know better than that.
Right. I'm saying she's using that as a fucking crutch. She's been saying this for like 3 years. She's been saying this for like 3 years. She left MMA because she wanted to have a kid. Before her last two losses, she was like, oh, I want to have a kid. And then took that ass whipping from Holly Holm, and then took that other ass whipping from Amanda Nunes, and then disappeared, showed up to WrestleMania, whatever, and then was gone for fucking a whole year or nine months. Whatever, pour some Frank's hot sauce on that shit, because that's what it is. Sizzling hot take right here from me.
All right, moving on. I knew that was gonna get you fired up. I knew it. I couldn't wait to get to it. Next up, obviously, we had a great weekend of wrestling. First off, we started off Saturday night at the 7 o'clock Eastern Time hour. This show lasted about 2 hours and 20 minutes, I want to say, 2.5 hours. NXT TakeOver Phoenix, 2:35, there it was. That was off top of the dome. Fantastic show. I know you watched it today, right, Barry?
I absolutely did.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right. He actually did a little bit of homework, folks, so this is going to be a great, great segment. So it's fresh in his mind. First up, we have the Tag Team Championship with the Undisputed Era defending against the War Raiders, with the War Raiders going over here, winning via pinfall. Barry, what you think?
That was an excellent match. I love the War Raiders entrance. That was very cool. Had the Knights come out and shit, and that was very excellent. They hit, the Undisputed Era hit their finish, got the kick out. I actually love the finish to this match with the big man doing the old John Cronus somersault. Into a backhand spring elbow, making a tag, dropping the leg off top rope. It was beautiful. Loved it. Loved that match.
I knew you would like that. I know you're a big fan of the War Raiders. I like them a lot. Hansen is a stud. That guy should not be able to move like he does. Like you said, what he did at the end, I'm going to say it's the second time in a row, an unsung hero in this match, Roderick Strong. Again, taking, just selling his ass off the entire time. I thought Undisputed Era, this was a perfect, they had such great chemistry. This was the right call to make, and this was the right team to put the War Raiders over because they sold like motherfuckers for them. It was so good. One of the better tag matches I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, and the WWF always does well, I always say, when their tag division is strong. And right now they have a super strong tag division, but they have some teams on the way up that can definitely secure that division up for a good while.
And, and unfortunately we've said this before, right? We've been here before with WWE and NXT. This great farm system, they develop these great tag teams, then they get up to WWE and they don't do anything. So,
yep.
I mean... The revival is the obvious example of that. AOP, yeah, they won the titles quick. I think there was an injury, wasn't there? Not real sure what happened then, but obviously.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We saw what happened with the end zone of Big Cass. The Ascension is just a disaster, an absolute disaster. I think that these two teams we saw in this match can overcome any of that, though. These four guys are, I think, more talented than any of the guys I just named. So... Big hopes, man, but the War Raiders, they could definitely be an asset to a Raw or SmackDown brand at WWE level. Just so can the Undisputed Era, but I think those guys have singles runs in them as well. So, we'll see. Next up, we have Matt Riddle, tapped out Cassius Ohno. If you like ground and pound, if you like hard striking, this is the match for you. You knew it was going to be some kind of submission deal. Cassius Ohno, the veteran, been around the world. These guys actually have a history on the indies anyway. So, man, Cassius Ohno just looks so big. Every time I see him, it's just hard for me to get past that. But still moves extremely well for his size, extremely well. Riddle obviously hitting his suplex out there and made him tap. So, obviously, the right guy went over. This is, I think Cassius Ohno's seventh straight loss on a takeover or something like that. So, pretty good, but hopefully these guys are done and Riddle can move on to better things.
Yeah, he's, 3-0 against Cassius Ohno.
Mm-hmm.
Ohno, yeah, he booted Riddle in the mouth. They had a couple real good spots with the slaps, the chops, the kicks. And then Riddle throws some forearms, some hammers, gets a tap out. Based off strikes, which is unusual for, it was different. So I liked it. I mean, it wasn't great by any means, but, like I said, it was something different and I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, it was what I thought it was going to be. I knew I was going to enjoy this and it wasn't too long and got the point across and Cassius did what he was supposed to do, man. He did his job. Next up was the, yeah, did the favor. Next up was the annual, well, I shouldn't say annual, the Every Takeover Twitter Match of the Year, the North American Championship. You had Johnny Gargano actually tapping out Ricochet. Really, really good. This match obviously moved well. You knew it was going to be good. Lots of high-flying stuff. Gargano, innovative. They told a great story. I think Ricochet with the knee, Gargano with the shoulder. But really, really good match. Gargano hitting that spike DDT. They had so many false finishes in this. And I actually was texting a guy. We were watching this at the same time. And he was getting – the false finishes kind of driving him crazy. But to me, I thought it added to the match. I mean, because these guys have such good timing. I'm talking, it was 2.9, boom, they were breaking it. So I thought it added to it a lot. They gave these guys just enough time, and, yeah, they put on a show. A+.
Yeah, this was probably my favorite match on the card. You know, Ricochet did the high, you know, flew over the top rope, over the ring post and all that. Gargano working, you know, tease the DDT onto the concrete floor, you know, actually got talked out of it, and then end up hitting a brainbuster towards the finish on the floor, which was pretty sweet. To me, I also liked, and I don't know if those two had anything to do with it, but I loved that they had Drake Younger as the referee. Because he has a history with those guys. He knows them. He's, you know, he worked on the indies and shit with them. So I think he knew their style. And really, the point is, you didn't really notice the referee in the match, which is a sign the referee did a very good job. And I don't know if they had anything to do with that, but I thought that was pretty cool to have very familiar with in the ring with them. During that big of a match.
So, just to get this straight, we're going to bash the fuck out of Ronda Rousey. We're going to give ref shout-outs now.
No, what I'm saying is the referee is a huge part of a match. The referee is a huge part of a match.
Just...
And Drake Younger is 10 times the worker that fucking Ronda Rousey has ever dreamed of. Well, so if we're going to go there, Drake's a former worker, and he paid his dues.
Oh, you're beautiful, man.
I know. Hey, you ain't going to hear anybody else put the fucking referee over in that match except a true veteran of the fucking game, and I just did.
You sure did. Next up, the NXT Women's Championship match with Shayna Baszler defeating Bianca Belair via submission, tapping her out. I thought when this match started, I was like, "Ew, this is a little bit too big of a spot for Bianca." But she eventually settled down. She looked scared coming out, I thought. She eventually settled down, uses that hair as a whip, which I don't know how that's allowed, other than I guess it's her hair. But, yeah, Bianca had a... She hit the kiss of death on Shayna at one point, but the ref was down. She kind of threw a little fit in the ring. I don't know if they put that in there to kind of show her being green or inexperienced, but I think she definitely has a championship potential in her. I like her a lot. But, of course, you had Marina Shafir and Jessamine Duke with their little run-in. She kind of caught Belair off guard, power out of it, kind of calmed her down a little bit, and Baszler came in for the win. I thought it was a little clunky. I don't think the styles really matched up that well, but it did what it had to do. And they got out of that damn streak with Bianca as well, so that's good.
Yeah, she represents the University of Tennessee, so we'll throw that up.
Okay.
You know, you're dogging me for putting a ref over, and you put a wrestler's hair over. So that's another fucking thing.
I didn't put her hair over.
She did,
I said she used
you
it.
You did. You put it over. You mentioned it. That's putting it over. She used that hair. And fuck, did you see she cut Shayna on the side?
Yeah, dude. She whipped her. She had a little gash on her, like, right side.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck she had in her hair, but yeah, had a nice little cut there. You know, Marina and Jessamine came out, like you said. the interference. Shayna got the pass out victory. She didn't tap. I mean, so the Queen of Spades, the double champ, gets the victory.
Oh, my God. Somebody just sent me a text. Daniel Bryan changed the belt.
Live.
I gotta go on air. Live on air. Yeah. I'm getting updates as we go. Because people text me.
That's this show, right.
Obviously, the last half hour of SmackDown. And people are texting me what's going on. So that's hilarious. I got to take a look at this. I'm going to let you take the next one. Next up, we have the NXT Championship. We have Tommaso Ciampa defeating Aleister Black. Barry, go at it, buddy.
Yeah, Aleister Black entered he entered this match 7-0 in takeovers. So he definitely had that mystique about him that he could possibly be going over. Ciampa is definitely a fucking workhorse. A lot of hard-hitting strikes, a lot of knees, a lot of kicks. Kind of a dangerous spot where Ciampa had that water and spilled it out on the mats there. And Black almost slipped and fell. Could have blew a knee out or anything like that, but didn't. Worked the leg, missed the kick, hit the old storybook ending four times, I believe, whatever, for the victory. Ciampa ended the 7-0 streak of Aleister Black.
Oh, my God, this belt. I'm tweeting a picture of it right now. It's wooden.
It's a wooden belt.
I'm tweeting it out right now. Oh, my God, that's awesome. Yeah, I love the match a lot, too. I didn't realize that Ciampa was undefeated in takeovers, but obviously he could be getting called up. Man, Ciampa's just so good right now. He's on a roll. He might be the best.
Aleister Black was 7-0 going into takeovers.
Did I miss? Yeah, Aleister Black, I didn't realize he was undefeated in takeovers, one of that. Him taking a loss, like we talked about last week, he could be getting called up. He did make an appearance in the Rumble. But Ciampa, I think, is the best heel. He might be the best heel going under the WWE umbrella as of right now, across the board. He's so good. He's everything that brand needs right now. The way he's worked himself up, like you talked about, paid his dues on Velocity years ago. Like, this guy's been everywhere. So, great match, hard-hitting. Again, telling another great story, but keeping the belt on Ciampa. And then at the end of the show, you had Johnny Gargano and Ciampa raising their titles in unison. What do you think about that?
I thought that was a pretty cool way to end it after they've had, you know, a couple run-ins here and there. You just hit me with that, and I seen a picture of fucking R-Truth winning the United States title. So I was kind of speechless. He went from not competing on Sunday to being the new United States champion over fucking Bobby Lashley or whoever had it.
They made it up to him, man.
I swear. WWE, I tell ya.
Wait till you see Daniel Bryan's championship.
I just seen it. I'd seen it. He got that at fucking the All-American Do It Center. He made it himself. He glued the plates on. I'm all about it. I like
it. That's fantastic. That's wrestling art, man. That's wrestling at the best right there, what he's doing. It's so good. All right, so we'll move on to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I wonder if they can make replicas of that shit. None of them will look the same. Nope. No wooden belt will look the same.
He doesn't want us buying merch anyway, so that's fine.
Right.
All right, next up we have, we're moving on to the big show, the Royal Rumble, and this is something I really wanted to get into. Starting off, we're just going to skip the pre-show, fuck it. You're on the pre-show, you don't make our show. So, on to the main show here. SmackDown Women's Championship. You have Asuka, the championship, retaining, tapping out the man. I'm going to say it again, tapping out the man. This was stupid. Why did they do this? This is so dumb, especially knowing what we know now. We'll talk about it later, obviously. You said last week her taking a loss would be cutting the legs out from under her. So what does having her tap out do, Barry?
Fucking cools her right off. But in the scheme of things, now that it has played out, because I messaged you and, you know, you were like, I knew you was going to say that. You know, but you said they'll make it up to her in the Rumble. So you obviously knew she was going to fucking win the Rumble. I guess Rousey being a submission artist, they're going, I guess you could go, if Asuka tapped you out, fucking what's Ronda Rousey going to do to you? And then, you know, she could overcome the odds or whatever. Since Rousey wants to go fucking be mommy dearest and all, according to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I fucking thought it was stupid. I mean, if you're going to bury her, just bury her. Because to me, it lost all credibility. Like, okay, you just tapped out to Asuka, and then you're coming out, and then you win the Rumble or whatever, at whatever number she came out at. Yeah, that was piss poor booking.
I thought it was terrible, and Bully Ray made the tweet, why not just have her pass out? You still maintain that strong, tough man, never quit demeanor, obviously, but when you have her tap out instead of pass out, she quit. She quit.
Right.
That's really hard to come back from. You know, so now you have her in the, through no fault of her own, get her nose broke, get her face split open, and then she taps out. All in like a 2-month span. Like, oh my gosh. If she could overcome this, and I mean she, by the way she looked out on Raw last night and the way the people loved her, it looks like she's probably going to, but If she gets past this, it just shows how over she really is. Because, man, that is piss poor, in my opinion.
Yeah. I even have her go crazy and get disqualified before I have her fucking cleanly lose.
Right. Yeah, anything but – I didn't even have her get pinned. But tap, because any motherfucker can get rolled up. But the tap, oh, that's tough. That's a tough one. All right, next up, we have The Miz and Shane defeating The Bar for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. And it wouldn't be a big old pay-per-view if Shane McMahon didn't risk his fucking life. Right? Die off the top rope.
Absolutely.
On the announce table and held back. Just, oh, my God. The guy's insane. Going coast to coast. Both heels. Oh, my God. Getting caught into a swing. Cesaro's a freak. But yeah. Shane's out of control. He's 49 years old. This match was okay. I did like them winning, though. I think it's going to make for whenever someone turns on somebody, you could have a face Miz coming up. But whenever somebody turns, it's going to be a pretty good feud, hopefully for Mania.
Yeah. And when Cesaro was doing the big spin, Shano was trying to keep that jersey down. I don't know what he was trying to hide, but he was damn sure trying to keep that shirt down.
What do you think about these guys as champions?
I don't mind it. I mean, like I said, it's setting up for something bigger, so I guess we'll see. Like I said, when one of them turn on the other one for a decent feud, I mean, I enjoy Shane wrestling. I mean, like I said, he puts it all out there. He balls to the wall.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, next up, the match, I'm going to let you take the reins on this one. Ronda Rousey defended her championship and defeated Sasha Banks via pinfall to retain.
Okay.
What do you think?
Okay. Now, I was going to say it earlier, but I'll say it now. Since you say I never give Rhonda any credit. Sunday night at the Royal Rumble 2019, Rhonda was a good listener and allowed Sasha Banks to carry her to a 3-star match. Now, if that's not giving credit, I don't know what is. Some of her shit was clunky. You could see Sasha kind of telling her what to do, etc. She was calling the match out there. Let's make no fucking mistakes about that.
She should have been.
Rhonda was a good listener. Right, absolutely. Rhonda did the smart thing. She deferred to a veteran, a true veteran, and she got carried to a 3-star match. It wasn't great, but it was probably her best match.
You're out of control. Pretty good. Out of control. Pretty good match. I thought that Sasha did a real good job of trying to wear Rhonda down, wear her down, trying to hit the bank statement, put her in arm bars, trying to wear it down. They told that story. But I thought Rhonda did a good job at the end, firing up, staying up ahead of Piper's pit slam with a bridge for the pin. I thought this was good. So that's now Charlotte. That's now Sasha. That's now Bailey last night at Raw. One more of the big four to take down. That's three.
Well, of course she's taking them down. Fuck, they can't let her lose.
I mean, no, but I think Becky's
she fucking
going
to, loses a match.
I think Becky's going over at Mania. I really do.
I think Becky goes over at Mania. Hurts Rhonda, and the I'm doing the quotations and shit here. Where she takes her time off, as you say. And then I think we have Baszler come up and then to try to avenge her friend. And she brings Jessamyn and Marina. And then somewhere Mania time next year, your fucking queen will reappear. And it'll be four horsewomen against four horsewomen.
Thank you for that. Next up, we have topical. Becky Lynch wins the Women's Royal Rumble. This match was too long. It was, 71 minutes, I think I read somewhere. That is too long. I thought it was good. I had your basic people coming in, obviously. The final five being Lynch, Flair, Carmella, Bayley, Nia Jax. Katie Canzaro stood out real well. Naomi looked real good. I'm trying to think of some other people. I thought that Zelina Vega actually performed well. She didn't really have like a good wrestling showing, but she performed well. You know, so Ember Moon looked great. Naomi did the Kofi Kingston spot. So I thought that was great. And that's awesome that it's actually called the Kofi Kingston spot now. But what I have another problem with, and I just don't love, what they have right now with Becky Lynch is they have gold. These fans are going absolutely ballistic. And I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or they think this is good ideas, but they are just cutting the legs right out from under her. Having her basically sneak into the Rumble, weasel into the Rumble, I should say, taking advantage of someone's injury when already everyone's been eliminated. There's only 6 or 7 people in the ring at this point, not that many.
Yeah.
For her to come in, I know she had a match earlier tonight that she did tap out, but probably fresher than the people in the ring, if you think about it. Like, you're looking at it from a kayfabe point of view. And she comes in and wins. She eliminated Nia Jax and Charlotte at the end to win. Didn't love it. Didn't love it one bit, Barry. Why not just put her in the Rumble and have her draw a number? And why not just have her come out at 28? That way we don't even have this to talk about. Like, why even do that?
Yeah, I would say, like, Lana's injured. Becky's taking her flight. You know, have a backstage scene. You don't need to bring her out fucking hobbling and then fucking
Begging to be in the match.
Yeah. Just say, look, you're in. it was a complete shit show. Natalia did really well. She was your workhorse of the match. I think she went 40 or 50 some minutes. She was the Arn Anderson of the match. Alexa Bliss, fucking beautiful spot. When Naomi did do the jump over to the stairs and she knocked her off. Classic heel shit right there. That was excellent. I did like that. There was a couple good spots, but some fucking horrendous shit. Like I said, that Casey, whatever her name is, she looks good. She could be on the radar. American Ninja Warrior girl.
Her name is Katie Catanzaro, American Ninja Warrior girl. She's fantastic. Yeah, I found out about her in the Mae Young Classic, and she's really good.
I found out about her last night, and I was like, yeah, she looks good. And she's got some athletic ability to her, more than I did, you know, so I'm putting her over.
That's a lot. That's saying a lot.
That is. Absolutely it is. Like I said, it was way too fucking long. Like, the women's rumble should have been like a minute. Maybe a minute intervals instead of a minute and a half, 2 minute intervals.
All right. Next up, we have the WWE Championship. We have Daniel Bryan defeating AJ Styles via pinfall. We both called this. We knew this was going to happen. Didn't know Eric Rowe was going to come out in a flannel and help. That was a bit fucking crazy. I thought this match was a little bit of a letdown, but. I think this rivalry has run its course, and I don't know what's going on with Rowan or whatever, but it looks like it fits. So, and obviously we talked about Daniel Bryan rolling out the new planet-friendly, environmental-friendly championship belt tonight. So, yeah, man, this is all going really good direction. I love everything they're doing with Daniel Bryan. I say it all the time on Twitter. This is fucking wrestling art. This is what it's supposed to be. This is everything that Daniel Bryan ever wanted to do, and now he can do it. I don't think he ever wanted to be the big over babyface who's super famous. I think he wants to be a wrestling character, which a wrestling character like we've heard. If you're listening to this show, you've probably listened to shoot interviews out the ass. We all hear the best character is when your own personality turned up 200. I think that's exactly what this is.
Yeah, I agree with you. The match wasn't nowhere near what these guys are capable of. And again, sometimes you just have off nights. The shit doesn't mesh out. The crowd also plays a big part in the mat. Like, the NXT crowd made some of those matches way the fuck even better. You know what I'm like? The Ricochet and Gargano match, the crowd made it that much better because they were into every false finish. Daniel Bryan going over. I think AJ's gonna. He's going to drop down into the mid-card status. He'll be beating on Dolph Ziggler and the other mid-card talent It was it was a 3.5, 4-star match. 3.5-star, yeah, not 4. No way.
Yeah, I give it 2 3/4 glasses of wine. Just over half a bottle.
Yeah.
Wasn't great for me, so. We'll move on.
Nope.
The big story for me was Rowan. That was weird.
Coming back.
Right. All right. Next up, you have Brock defeating Finn via submission to retain the championship. This is a fantastic little match, obviously. And I think we knew it was going to be. Brock is great when Brock wants to be great. He's that good. He knows how to sell for smaller opponents. And I thought Sunday night he looked very motivated. Balor countered F5s into DDTs. I mean, near falls. I thought this was really good.
Yeah. Brock surprised me a little bit. I don't know if he was legit hurt or whatever when he ran into the edge of the announce table. He sold that really well, though. If he wasn't, I mean, if he was, he still sold it. He still sold it really well. He let Finn, you know, get in his shit, let him get his offense in. And then after the match, even got in, you know, after he had won, he got a little more fire and, you know, took Finn to Suplex City, further, you know, implementing his role. So, yeah, I liked it. I mean, I thought it was better than AJ and Daniel Bryan. So
I did too. Yeah, I did too. This match was obviously just over 8 minutes long. Very violent, but no one does violent better than Brock Lesnar when he's motivated to do it. And I think we say that a lot. But I think we knew he was going to be going to this because Finn Balor, I think, is a guy that probably has a lot of respect backstage. A hell of a performer. You know, by all accounts, everything you read, good guy. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. This was a good match. We thought it was going to be. Next up,
fine.
Obviously, the main event, the coup de grace, the Seth Rollins wins the Men's Royal Rumble. I just watched this Rumble about 3 hours ago. So I'll go ahead and get my take on it really quick. Loved how it started with Elias coming over and then Jeff Jarrett coming out. Jeff Jarrett actually signed a contract. He came out on Raw last night, so looks like we're going to get a little piece of business with Jeff Jarrett. That's good. Kofi Kingston walking on his hand twice. Really liked the NXT guys coming in, though. Johnny Gargano at 6. He obviously shouted out Baker Mayfield. Aleister Black coming in with a really good show. He eliminated Dean Ambrose. And Pete Dunne coming in. He looked excellent when he first got in the ring. So, and obviously the big spot was number 30, R-Truth coming out, Nia Jax jumping him. And her entering the Royal Rumble. And just like that, we have intergender wrestling on WWE television. We had her take a super kick, a 619, an RKO, and then eliminated by Orton and Randy Orton, and it was fucking fantastic. I watched this with my wife, and she was so happy. She thought this was just the best thing, that a woman could get in there as an equal and compete. This wasn't domestic abuse. This wasn't a violent act against an unwilling person. This is somebody that signed up for an athletic competition, even though it's kayfabe, and there's nothing wrong with it. These people that say that men and women can't be equal on these kinds of platforms are ridiculous. If you believe that, do not ever watch a fucking superhero or television show again. So this is entertainment. This is art, and I thought they did it beautifully.
Yeah, I love that spot, actually. they, you know, beat up R-Truth to get, you know, she didn't beg to get in, like, oh, put me in.
Right.
She came out, busted him up.
Was that an Irish accent?
I don't fucking know what it was. It was just it was the man accent. That's what that was. That's me in, cheerio. Well, however the fuck. But, no. She goes to the ring. She eliminates. Who'd she eliminate?
Mustafa Ali.
She eliminated. Yeah, she eliminated somebody. She didn't fucking, like, go in there and just, like, get tossed right out. I mean, Nia is an imposing fucking a figure. I mean, she's an imposing person. That's why only a few of the women have ever been allowed to do that. You know, Beth Phoenix, the Glamazon, Chyna, and Nia Jax. I mean, and Lou DiBella, God bless him.
Awesome. Was in there.
Yeah, but a boxing promoter, and he kind of made it. I'm a boxing guy, and fuck, and so, you know, but I don't know if he truly gets what wrestling is, but I think he kind of made it out like she was fucking taking four finishers from guys. Yeah, and, you know, but you suspend the belief or whatever. the shit looked phenomenal. Like, she took everything beautifully. I mean, I had no problems with it, and she doesn't make you go, oh my God. Put it like this. It's not like you've got a bunch of 6 foot tall, 6'2", 6'3", 250-pound men beating up 5'2" Alexa Bliss. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they were beating up a little girl. Nia is an imposing woman. She is a bigger person. Her competing against the men equally and even getting an elimination builds her up, you know, that builds her up to the audience even when she's wrestling other women. Holy shit, she threw out dudes. I mean, so, yeah, I had no problems with it. And Seth Rollins looked good. He had a nice rumble. Some good eliminations. So I had no problems with it.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good rumble. It had a really good pace to it, I thought, as opposed to the women's. That was my only knock on the women's rumble, it just took too long. But I thought this was great. I thought the way Seth won was great with eliminating Braun. Obviously, it's a chore to get Braun Strowman out of the ring, but they sold that really well. I thought it was really, really good. I had a lot of fun with it. I think they've done a really good job with the Rumbles. And I kicked myself in the ass after last week's show because we asked about who we thought surprise entrants could be. And last year, there were hardly no legends. And this year, we had, what, one? So,
that's
four NXT guys.
Double F.
Yeah, we have three NXT guys.
Double T.
Which I think it's a great time to actually, instead of, not, I shouldn't say waste that spot, but give that spot to DDP every year. Why not have Gargano make an appearance or have Black make an appearance like they did? So I thought that was a great direction. Other than that, I was really happy with the pay-per-view. We both called Seth Rollins to win that. So, yeah, good match. Good show.
Yeah, it was a lot better than some of the previous Rumbles that I've watched.
All right, well, next up, Toy Spotting. So we're moving off the live wrestling and wrestling news and going on to the fun, nerdy shit. So, I know I did a bit of toy spotting this week. I'll go into what I did. I know you did a little bit as well, so I'll talk about mine. I found, obviously, I went back to Hobbies Galore, located in Westerville, Ohio here, and they have a lot of jacks, a lot of loose jacks. So, I got a Vince Titantron from 1999, and I also got a China. I believe it's from a double pack with Triple H. It's a jacks from 1998. The China is in, like, impeccable condition. It looks so good. And the Vince looks a little beat, but I can clean it up and make it look nice, look pretty good for display purposes. They got these for $5 a piece. So, good score. And I also went to Walmart, picked my buddy up Razor Ramon. So I got one of those joints as well, the Flashback Series. They're $4.79. So check your BrickSeek and see if they're available. So now what everyone's talking about is they want the new Elites coming to their store. So Elite 63 is what should be hitting your Walmart soon. I was very fortunate that I had Elite 63. Meyer by my house is keeping everything stocked, so they had Elite 63 there. I actually picked up Dusty for my good friend and co-host, the Husky Heartthrob, the sexual intellectual, Barry Frost. So he should be getting that by this weekend. So Elite 63 Dusty was up there. They also had the whole set. No Chase Benjamin, Shelton Benjamin. The only thing I'm really, really outwardly hunting for right now, and I said it last week, if you guys can find it, holler at me, is that Bob Backlund. So, and we can probably work something out. So Retro Series 8 is on Ringside Collectibles right now. That's with the Sheik, Jeff Hardy. Who else we got here? I'm sorry. Sheik, Jeff Hardy, Zack Ryder, and there was one more. I can't remember who the fuck it was. Retro figures. Here we go. Ringside Collect. And Braun. I'm sorry. It looks like they sold all the Iron Sheik. If you want to pay a little bit and get them early, you get a Jeff Hardy for $18.99, Braun for $16.99, Zack Ryder for $16.99 as well. So Other than that, I was popping around pretty much all the Hall of Championships are out of Targets. All the flashbacks and Survivor Series and Fan Centrals are pretty much out of Walmarts. Like Barry, I mean, he'll talk about that in a moment. But kind of the after Christmas lull. But yeah, be on the lookout for Elite 63. And word on the street is we're going to get WWE Retro Series 8 here soon. So, Barry, what do you got?
Well, I went to Walmart, as usual, and picked up, because they must have had them in the back, because like we had talked about last week, I had picked you up the Alexa Bliss, and who was the AJ Styles, I believe. I don't
AJ.
Remember. Yeah, so I went back, and they had Razor. They had put Razor out, and they had put Alundra Blayz for, like, $2.50 or whatever, and I was like, and they had like cut prices down, like some of the shit was like $1.50, and I was like, I think they just want rid of it, you know what I mean? So I picked that up, I picked those two up, I picked up the Jericho Monsters and Zombies with the List of Jericho type shit in it, and then I believe I went back and got another AJ and another Bobby Roode, I think. And then I went back the next day, and they were just completely gone. I mean, everything was gone. Even the flares that were out of the package were even gone. So, yeah, I mean, I've been on the lookout and stuff just to see if the new stuff drops, you know, see if Bob Backlund hits my stands. You know, we'll see. It could, like I said, shit just pops up around here. And like Brickseek even said, because I just wanted to see, and it said that the Asuka Monsters and Zombies was out, and there was two of them sitting there. So I don't know if it just out of their system. That's why they priced them the way they did to get the fuck, you know, to get the fuck out of there. I don't know. So, I don't know. We will see. I'm sure this weekend they will get a truck in or something and hopefully move some of those elites they got hanging. I might buy some of those for, you know, a special occasion.
With the Bob Backlund, will that make the Frost Hall of Fame?
It will make the Eric Brown inbox, just to make him squall a little bit, because I know he'll want it. I know he'll want it, but I'll make him fucking beg a little bit. I won't just give it up that easy. I'll have to torture him a little.
Oh, man. But I do appreciate you going to Walmart. I have many thanks for going and thinking of me and doing that. So that's unbelievable, man. Thank you so much. Ringside Collectibles, pre-order WWE Elite 67 in this set. And Barry, I sent you the picture, so I'll ask you your thoughts in a moment. Randy Orton, it looks like when he had the hair about 6 months ago, he has his cut-off zip-off hoodie on. We have Cedric Alexander with the Cruiserweight Championship. We have Shayna Baszler with the Women's NXT Championship. We have Velveteen Dream. I believe it's the first time in the line. He's got purple pants with a white shirt and his hair spiked up with glasses and a headband. And you also have, and my favorite from this series, this is the one I'm going to get, is the Rey Mysterio. Well, I'm sorry, there's other ones.
The Halloween
Jeff Hardy Halloween. Elite 67. Well, yeah, so there's Jeff Hardy also as well. He's the Chase, so there'll be two different Jeff Hardys. But Rey Mysterio in the 1997 Halloween Havoc gear is, to me, a must-have. So when that comes out, I might even pre-order that one just so I get it as soon as I possibly can, even though when that happens, you're kind of relying on Ringside Collectibles and their packaging. Might be able to roll the dice on Amazon. So on Amazon, you can get pre-order Elite 66. You can buy Elite 65 on there right now. Actually, Amazon's pretty stocked up right now if you guys go on there. So that might be the way to go. But, yeah, we have a lot of stuff coming. 2019 is going to be a really good year for figures, man. So this segment is something that I've noticed it starts to grow a little bit, and I've noticed that I've started to get more follows on Twitter, more interaction involving toys than damn near anything, just because I talk about it a lot. But I mean, it's in itself a nice little community as well. So shout out to all those guys that have helped me out, pointed me in the right direction to get figures, mainly WWE retro stars. You're fucking amazing. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and like I said, I've been getting followers too, but mostly it's from other wrestling podcasts. So I don't know if they actually are listening or what they're doing. But, you know, I appreciate the followers on there. Feel free to hit me up or whatever, and we can BS and talk, whatever. But, yeah, I enjoyed this weekend of wrestling. The NXT show was pretty damn good. I would give it a 4 out of 5. And the Royal Rumble, probably a 3 out of 5 overall. So, I mean, you take that into consideration. That's a 7 out of 10 combined for the wrestling weekend.
Yeah, that's how I do it, too. I was actually going to say 4 for NXT and 3 for WWE. Really good weekend of wrestling. Raw wasn't terrible. I haven't watched SmackDown. I'll watch it right after I get done doing this. But, yeah, Royal Rumble delivered. I was happy.
Yeah. So, with that, we're going to close her down for the night. Unless you have anything you want to say, any shout-outs you'd like to give, any social media information.
Social media information, as usual, follow us on our Twitter account for the show at PodcastDTF. Follow me individually at EricBrown740. We're on YouTube, youtube.com/jointhefavor. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at EricBrown740. 740, I should say. 740.
Right. 740. This ain't a rap video. What the hell you know about 740? But, yeah. You can get me on Twitter. It's at BFrost28 or at PodcastDTF, as usual. Eric runs that, but I co-sign all that shit. Everything. I co-sign it all, except Praise and Rhonda. But with that, we will see you guys next week. Hope you enjoy. Good night. And God bless.
Two reach for the sky, boy.
Rolex first.
Woo!
Diamond rings first.
Woo!
Hit stealing.
Woo!
Wheeling stealing.
Woo!
Limousine riding.
Woo!
Death flying.
Woo!
Not gonna look up.
Woo!
And I'm having a hard time.
Hope we had a good time.
I give you 2 slaps and a red flag.
Woo!